When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome in, a very happy Friday to you. It is Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Certainly hope it has been a fun and profitable week for you. If not, we've got plenty of action across the slate here tonight to take a look at, including 16 Major League Baseball games, actually 15 now. We had a huge doubleheader today between the Central leading Guardians and the team that's trailing them, trying to catch them, and that would be the Minnesota Twins. Game one is already in the books, by the way. Twins, a 4-2 winner. That is now 6 straight losses for the Guardians. Not going well. They do have one other game to play here in this day-night doubleheader. We'll talk about that coming up. But a lot of one rainout also, we should mention, the Yankees. Have been rained out as Hurricane Debbie or Tropical Storm seems to make its way up the East Coast right now, wrecking havoc across the board. So there will not be that game going on, which I guess, quick math, that would make it 14 games remaining here tonight on the slate. We're going to have plenty more on Major League Baseball coming up. And do I need to remind everyone, it is August the 9th. You know what that means? It means we got football, people. It is the preseason. Football is back. Week one coming your way. We got a little taste last night, although if you want to call that football last night. We had New England, a 17-3 winner over Carolina. It resembled a little bit of football, at least from New England side. Carolina, my goodness. Who knew Jack Plummer was the quarterback for the entire game, pretty much. The Giants in Detroit also went at it, and amazingly, they didn't get into a fight. That's kind of shocking. $200,000 in penalties will cause you maybe to keep the hands down a little bit, but they ended up getting the game going last night. Tommy DeVito off the bench getting it going there as Drew Lock, by the way, is going to miss a little bit of time here. So much for the backup quarterback competition going on. Tommy DeVito, by default, will continue to see plenty of snaps, as it appears, a couple of weeks now for Drew Lock with an oblique injury there, got knocked out in the first half. But tonight, we've got plenty going on here as we'll get a chance to see that the Atlanta Falcons and the Miami Dolphins. This is a game I like a lot coming up at the top of next hour. I like it a lot to bet because I do think this game sets up pretty well for an over. We'll talk about this game coming up during the hour. But the Falcons, get ready for the Michael Penix Jr. era? No? Maybe? Well, Kirk Cousins ain't playing, so this is going to be the Taylor Heinicke, Michael Penix Jr. backup show. And from Miami, we'll get a chance to see Mike White and Sky. No, wait a minute. We've seen both of those guys over the last couple of years. So this should be an interesting game here tonight, and so should. And take a snapshot of this one. The Baltimore Ravens in a preseason game as a dog at home. Never thought I'd say that, at least not in this era. But that's exactly what we've got here as the Ravens are catching points at home. And you can see Harbaugh 40-18 against the number in the preseason. And they're a dog? Interesting stuff in that one. And of course, we will have game number two for the Houston Texans. They were part of that Hall of Fame game that lasted 2.5 quarters and, of course, got everyone their tickets punched back as a push because they didn't play enough minutes in that game for it to count. But Pittsburgh and Houston, another interesting one also. Plenty more games coming up tomorrow, this weekend, as week one of the NFL preseason is on the way. Cannot believe football is here. In other news, how about the Olympics? Anybody catch the Olympics here? How about the gold medal men's soccer game that just finished up here? And Spain gets it done, takes home the gold in men's soccer at the Paris Olympics there. And a 5-3 extra time win over France, the host nation. I mean, two of the best, and I mean the best, soccer countries in the world. And what a game this was. In fact, it came right down to it. Again, Spain just a little bit better when it mattered the most. At the end, they get another gold medal. And of course, France, unfortunately, trying to figure out where it all went wrong, still collects another medal. And that would be the silver. In a medal count right now, as you take a look, as USA continues to dominate the top of the board here, 111 total medals. China gets another gold, which evens them up with us, 33 apiece. But far and away, this has been a dominating effort by Team USA in this year's Olympic Games. And of course, let's not forget, we still got a couple of more events coming up that could very well mean gold to the United States team. Let's not forget, we got the U.S. women's national team coming up with a possibility of winning gold in soccer. We have the women's team in basketball coming up with a opportunity to win gold here. And USA, as you can see, a big favorite over Brazil. And again, USA, a huge favorite over France. 16 now for the men's team. This was a men's team, by the way, that had to play the final 6 minutes with their hair on fire because they were trailing by as many as 17 in that game yesterday. Unbelievable against Serbia. But LeBron James, Steph Curry, the old guard, was not to be undone by the Joker and Serbia. They end up getting it done. And again, another spot where, guess who? France is going to have an opportunity to host nation, but they're going to have to get through that guy right there. We were all waiting for that Steph Curry game, and there was a lot of talk, remember, early on in the Olympics going, listen, Steph is just terrible. He's not able to hit threes. He was not good at all. He was a bit of a liability out on the court. Well, the reason you keep playing him is for spots just like last night. When they needed him the most, he came through. Nothing you could say. Can we all put to bed the idea that the Joker is not the best NBA player in the world right now? I mean, really? The effort yesterday by this guy, surrounded by a bunch of G League players at best, was just unbelievable. The guy is an unbelievable force. And listen, for all the greatness that the NBA has, I'm sorry. This guy is a one-man wrecking machine, the likes we have not seen. I mean, there are great, great generational players and talent in the NBA, but this guy is going to go down. We're going to look back at the Joker as one guy just for his size, his position, what he does, and how he can dominate all facets of the game and make everyone around him better, which is truly a sign of the greats, the true greats in the history of the game. Man, the Joker is, and maybe the best is yet to come here. That's maybe the scariest part about what he brings to the table. But he'll have an opportunity for a bronze medal. They're going to have to muster up enough energy to take on Germany and get that done. We'll have much more on the final games coming up here in basketball, both women and men there, including a possibility. Is there a way to bet any of these final games coming up, these gold, silver, and bronze matchups coming up in men and women's basketball? I think we might figure out a way or two. Gilbert McGregor is going to join us a little bit later this hour from the Sporting News. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on how to approach this. In the meantime, we got to get ready.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
For plenty of Major League Baseball coming up this hour. In fact, we'll have a few games, first pitch coming up. Adam Kaufman will drop by. We'll talk some MLB with him. And of course, we got to get you ready for the top of the hour as the NFL preseason week one already underway. 3 more games tonight. 7:00 Eastern is the kickoff. And we have got you covered as Game Time Decisions just getting started here on the grid. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in. It is Game Time Decisions. It is a Friday, and we are stoked here as we have football back. That's right, the NFL preseason. We got a couple of games getting ready to roll on here coming up at the top of the hour. We got a little taste last night, and some of it resembled football. And then the Panthers played, and we can't really figure out what that is. Maybe Adam Kaufman can shed some light on what the hell that was Carolina was playing. I thought maybe it was a new Olympic game, Kaufman. I had no idea. But football, it did not resemble to me. But
no.
I guess we have to – everyone's got to take a deep breath here. There's going to be a lot of mixing and matching. This isn't, the preseason of years past. Less games, a lot more practices during the week, joint practices. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean we don't have a shortage of storylines here. A lot of battles going on here. I can't wait to see Penix tonight, for instance. I can't wait mm-hmm. to see what happens in Pittsburgh. I mean, so the preseason, it may not be the big, big names, but there's a lot at stake for a lot of these guys coming up over the next few weeks.
Well, look, when it came to the Panthers-Patriots game, even seeing a total that was in the low 30s, which even for yeah. preseason is a little bit low. I mean, typically these games are in the 30s, but usually it's mid to high 30s. You see a game in the low 30s, and sure, I mean, there's a temptation to look at it and say, do we go under? Do we treat this like Iowa football? I think that was a sign of things to come, though, when it comes to at least the Patriots in this coming season. I mean, we knew that at least on the Panthers, and the Panthers are not a good team. They may very well be one of, if not the worst in football all over again. But we knew that many of the key proponents or factors of that offense, you know, Bryce Young and company, they weren't going to be out there, and it was going to be the Jake Plummer show for at least a half, and only even a couple of guys that were available for them. It was going to be ugly. So the under was the play. No matter how low that number was, the under was the play. And there were what, like 7 points entering the fourth quarter, 10 points entering the fourth quarter, something like that. So I do think, though, if there is a lesson to take here, and you know, this is what it's all about, right? I mean, you don't want to go crazy and to the ultimate levels of degeneracy betting on preseason football, but we are trying to learn a thing or two along the way. And I think when it comes to the Patriots, who, again, were on the winning side of that thing and covered the spread, might be the only game all year they're favored in, go under. No matter what the total is over the course of the year, you got to go under, because that largely, and not for the duration of the game, obviously, but in terms of who was out there starting the game, that largely was the Patriots team. You know, Jacoby Brissett, he only played a couple series, but he started in that one. And, you know, you had the guy like Pop Douglas and the guys they drafted, obviously, in the second and third rounds, the wide receivers, the rookies, Ramondre Stevenson was out there. There was no Hunter Henry, but for the most part, I think that was fairly indicative of what Patriots games are going to look like. Low scoring, keep them tight. Maybe they win a few along the way, but the defense is for real. The offense is kind of non-existent. And that was what we had to look at going into that one. But like you said, it was an ugly football game. We get a few more that might be just a hair more exciting tonight.
I got to tell you, you know, you're a Boston guy, right? So I'm watching this game last night on In-Game Live, and I'm looking and I'm watching and I'm going, where is Belichick? Am I missing? Like, it just felt so – it was the first time since January 2nd of 2000 the Patriots played a game without Belichick on the sideline. Did it feel weird for Patriot fans too? I mean, Are we thinking like he's just going to pop out of the tunnel here and save this team? I mean, it's got to be a rough transition happening here, no?
Well, it's a weird transition, but I think it probably felt a little more strange for people like you who are outside of New England than it did for, you know, all of us out here that are on a daily basis talking about this transition and have been dissecting every angle of the Belichick departure and the feud with Kraft, or at least the believed feud between them, and Mayo taking over and watching mini camps and into training camp and all of it. We have been ready for this. And you have to remember, there are also a lot of people that were kind of ready for Bill Belichick to go, you know, with it wasn't a question of whether Bill Belichick could still coach, and I still believe he can and should get an opportunity elsewhere. I'm sort of floored that he's not in the NFL somewhere right now, outside of talking about it with a million different outlets, obviously. But when it comes to general manager Bill Belichick, he really did himself and the team in a lot in recent years, between bad contracts, poor signings, talent evaluations, coaching decisions in terms of his staff, the draft, obviously. It's been a mess for, you know, even since before Brady left in 2020, quite frankly. So this was a long time coming. People expected it. And so seeing Mayo and no Belichick on the sidelines, we've been ready for it. I think it's been a little more strange for outsiders who haven't been paying, you know, a whole lot of attention to the Patriots, certainly not watching anything Patriots until this first preseason game, this first opportunity, and then looked at it and said, wow, where's Bill? Like, I think it felt a little more odd, for lack of a better way of putting it, when, you know, Cam Newton was out there and Tom Brady wasn't, because obviously the guys on the field, you're used to seeing that. Belichick, you get a lot of shots on the sidelines, but it's not the same thing as watching a guy out there for, you know, every single snap of every offensive series.
38-year-old, first-time head coach, Jared Mayo. Listen, it's learned by fire here. It'll be interesting to see how much of a leash they give him and what kind of decisions he makes moving forward. On the other side, we'll talk more about it, but is there a leash on Dable here, do you think? Another, is it, Are they willing to give him and sacrifice another year here? Because if it gets worse and Danny Dimes go down and we're back to Tommy DeVito, I don't know what we're doing here, Coffin, in New York. I think he's got to go. They'll want him gone, no?
Well, I don't think, not that this should necessarily be the ultimate evaluator, I don't think he really impressed in Hard Knocks clips that have circulated on the web in terms of like interviewing, you know, prospective quarterbacks and whether or not they were going to draft one.
Yep.
Instead, obviously, it's Malik Nabers, and they've really committed themselves to Daniel Jones. Like,
time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
He said, and if he's unavailable or limited in any way over the course of the year, and it's all of a sudden, you know, Tommy DeVito again, that's a problem for everybody.
Don't forget, Tyrod's in the other side of the building now. More Game Time Decisions coming up here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here. Game Time Decisions on the Sports Grid Network on this Friday. NFL preseason week one underway. A couple of games here tonight. Adam Kaufman, let me ask you, I like the over in this Miami and Falcons game. I love the experience at quarterback for both teams. There's some wide receiver questions on Miami, and you know how Daniels is going to do it. I don't mind Mike White and Skylar Thompson. They understand the system. I feel like there's going to be some offense in this game, and between Heinicke and Penix Jr., wouldn't shock me if we get over 38.5 in this one.
No, I think that's reasonable, obviously. Like you said, you outlined the names that are going to be out there. It's a decent amount of talent. I just wonder, I'm always watching these games sort of a little hesitant to look at full game stuff unless I've got a real read of who's going to be out there in the second half, because I feel like things really take a step backward in the second halves of these games. Now, looking at last night, I was woefully proven wrong, because I had the over in that Giants game and had 17 points at halftime, and then they were basically done scoring at that point. So, but generally, when you start to get the guys out there in the second half, and no disrespect intended, but the guys that, you know, are largely not going to be in the league come this year, might not even be in organized football at all, you know, could be off working wherever, not even the CFL, Arena League, XFL, whatever, you know, but whatever's still around there. That's when things just get sloppy. You get more offense, you get worse defense. And so that, you know, jacks up the totals a little bit. You start to look at these games and score 40 plus. So, based on, you know, kind of personnel, and like you said, if you get enough of the sort of the names and you feel like they're going to be out there for multiple series, and you might get a little bit of a head start in that opening half, that makes me feel better about a full game total. But it's hard. These games are tough to bet when it comes to totals, because you just don't, unless you have a complete absence of talent like you had in the Patriots-Panthers game, like we talked about, where the under just felt obvious. A lot of these spots are a little bit trickier to navigate in the first preseason game. I haven't made too many bets as of yet on NFL preseason tonight. Again, the three games, the one I just feel like it's an auto fire, especially at plus money, is, you know, how in the world do you bet against the Ravens in preseason?
Correct.
You know, we know obviously what they have done under Harbaugh, and, you know, I've seen some people want to take the Eagles, and I don't know if that's because they're favored or if that's just because they, you know, feel like a team is due to beat Baltimore, even though it did happen once last preseason, or if they view it as, you know, they're just a better team. I don't know. If when I see a plus 115 out there on Baltimore money line in the preseason, you just got to auto fire. Not a big investment, but you got to put something on it, just figuring that Baltimore is going to continue what it's doing. I mean, I don't have the record offhand, but it is an absurd success rate under Harbaugh under these last several years. When playing this time of year, obviously.
Yeah. No, we had the record. I think it was 48 and eight, it was some obnoxious number. It was a number that no matter what you do, you see plus money next to the Ravens in preseason. You bet it. That's it. You know, prove me wrong.
48, 18, it sounds like.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Just let me know. I'm good to go there. Let me get your thoughts quick on some of these baseball games coming up, including your Red Sox at Houston, which I find to be a fascinating game here tonight and this series coming up this week. And two teams very much in the hunt here. Hauk going up against Blanco. How are you approaching this one at Fenway?
So I have a small play on the Red Sox money line. They're playing well. But if I'm making a larger play on this game, I would expect scoring. And I know that sounds weird with Hauk and Blanco, as you mentioned, two guys that both have ERAs right at about three. They pitch well this year. But, you know, trends are your friends until they're not, right? And I look at this Red Sox team that can hit and can't pitch terribly well, even if Hauk does do well over, you know, five, six innings, then the bullpen comes in. And this bullpen is woefully unreliable. And with a total, it is a little high. You know, I think it's sitting at 10 right now. I bet the over when it was 9, 9.5. So you're climbing just a little bit more. But the Red Sox, in terms of full game overs, have hit, I want to say 13 out of the last 14 games or 12 out of the last 13. The point is, there's offense. There's loads and loads of offense when the Red Sox are involved on both sides of the ball. And so that's where I would invest. I'd go over in that game.
The number one home run hitting team over the last 30 days, the Boston Red Sox. They are crushing the ball. 41 home runs, an American League high, 41 home runs over the last 30 days. I don't see that stopping here tonight. I'm with you. Give me the over here and runs. Adam, we appreciate the time as always, my man. Enjoy the games here tonight. Game Time Decisions will be back after this here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network. A very happy Friday to you. All right, get him in here. Gilman McGregor, Sporting News. We talked to him earlier in the week about Team USA and the basketball, both women and the men. And Gilbert, we were just talking here off air and we're laughing going, what a different conversation we'd be having right now had Serbia actually held on to win here. But some of the takeaways in that game, the old guard is, it looks like they still got another gear to me, Gilbert. Like LeBron, if he trusts the guys he's around, we haven't seen that gear from LeBron in a long time, man. What did you take away from this win?
That was incredible. First off, you can't even joke around and say that never in doubt, because I was genuinely nervous throughout that game as a fan of Team USA. Can't even mess around about that. But it's just crazy. You think about how that game went. Steph Curry was the one who he really was waiting for that breakthrough, all Olympics, right? And he finally had it. And they were down by a lot at the end of the first quarter. I think Steph had 17 points, you know, in the first quarter, 20 in the first half, and finished 1 point shy of a USA basketball record. And Kevin Durant struggled in the first half, and he stepped up and made big shots. And there was no doubt that those shots were going in, especially the way the momentum was going. But like you said, LeBron James has been the guy for this program throughout the exhibitions, throughout group play, and now to lead them one win away from a fifth consecutive gold medal. It's been the 39-year-old getting ready for his 22nd season in the NBA. It sounds crazy even saying it out loud, but he's the guy, only the fourth triple-double in Olympic basketball history, and he has two of them. What else can you say about those three guys? Generational talents, got the job done.
He's got another gear. Anybody who's thinking the dude is clearly, if he trusts the guys around him, he's a different player. It truly is amazing. Maybe time for some wine and a banana boat here in Miami again. Maybe Durant and Steph Curry, maybe they can all come together for one last run. Would be a lot of fun there. Were you okay with no Tatum again in this game? Everyone else seems to be really PO'd about it.
It was weird. You know, he didn't play the first time they played against Serbia in the group stage, so I kind of wasn't surprised that he didn't get in. But it's just hard to hear that it's a math thing. It's a tough time to be able to find a rotation for him, especially because Anthony Edwards struggled in that game. Maybe give a different look. Maybe Tatum could have figured it out. And, you know, it's easy to look back and say you could have done this or that differently. The game ended up working out in Team USA's favor. That being said, maybe they wouldn't have been in the position that they were in, trailing by double figures going into the fourth quarter if they gave Jason Tatum a look. But also, he seemed a little disengaged at that point. I could tell he's a little ticked off. Yep. Why wouldn't he be? He's a three-time All-NBA first-teamer out of the rotation on arguably the best team in the world. And I think he should get a shot to play out there. But he needs to stay ready. He should be ready to play. I think he can have a role in the France game tomorrow.
All right, so let's talk about Serbia-Germany, the bronze game. What do they have left as Serbia? I mean, if that's not emptying the tank, Gilbert, I don't know what is. Are they going to have enough left to beat Germany?
It's tough because it's been quite the week for Serbia. You think back to their game against Australia in the quarterfinals, and they came back from 24 down. So I thought they didn't have anything left in the tank for Team USA, but you could tell they were motivated in that USA game. This is a Germany team that I'm sure had their sights set on the gold medal match the entire tournament, and they lost to France, the home team, I'm sure we'll talk about here in a second. So it's going to be a really good matchup. It's a little bit harder to get up for that when they're going to be playing earlier in the day, but a lot of NBA talent on hand. No, neither team wants to leave empty-handed, so I do expect maybe a slow start in this one, but once the stakes get higher and they realize, oh, wait a second, we're three or two quarters away from winning a medal, it'll be a really good game between these two teams.
Yeah, no, it'll be a very good game, but Team USA, I don't understand the odds movement here. This opened up Team USA 14.5, 180 is a total. And now we're going the opposite way. Like, now it's 16.5 and the total is dropping. Like, wait a minute. You want me to expect them to win with the total going down? Like, I don't understand. France is not going to get into a track meet here. Doesn't this favor France, this kind of number?
I think so. And I fully expect it to be a closer game. You know, we always talk about in the NBA, role players play better at home. Well, guess what? France is playing at home. So I think a lot of the guys outside of Victor Wembanyama and Evan Fournier and Rudy Gobert, who's kind of out of the rotation, they are going to step up and they're going to hit big shots. I think the Team USA, as they do in every game, have the talent advantage, but France has the home crowd behind them, a little home cooking behind them, and that'll allow them to keep the game close. Gold medal games are hard. Team USA and France met in the gold medal game in Tokyo a few years ago, and it was a fight. Team USA was able to pull away, but it was a fight. So I'm expecting a fight, and I think Team USA has what it takes to pull away late in the second half, but I do think that France will be able to keep it close and maybe even ugly the game up a little bit just based on what they have going for them in this game.
So if we're thinking less points here, I mean, some of these player performance doubles, some of the player props here, I mean, LeBron, are we going lottery? Like, LeBron, another triple-double to get it done? Like, how do we approach this? Who are we keying on? Does Steph go back-to-back off the wall? What do you think?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking throughout the tournament it was worth maybe just a little sprinkle on LeBron James' triple-double whenever it was going to happen. And now that it's happened, I don't know if he has another one in store. But wouldn't that be a crazy way, if this is his last game at the Olympics, to go out on top with another triple-double? I also think Steph Curry had that breakthrough, and now it's going to be like shooting in the ocean for him in the next game. So him being maybe the leading scorer or having another big game in this gold medal performance, because this could very well be his first and only opportunity to win a gold medal. So I think the old guys, one more time, especially with each of them, there being a chance that this is their last time at the Olympics, they're going to have one big time performance in store. And I guess the other one to throw out there, it could be very storybook if Jason Tatum comes from not playing at all to having some type of game. I don't even know what's available for Jason Tatum, but he's another guy to keep an eye on.
Yeah, you would think the motivation will be there in gold. And again, ultimately, this was always about just win the gold. Like, it's nothing else. You know, what I tried, listen, Tatum, you still got $300 million waiting for you back here in the States. Like, don't cry me a river here. I'm not interested in that at all. But did you notice, like, I know there was a little more pep in Embiid's step there in that game. He was a big reason why they had that comeback too. So do you think he's the guy maybe who turned away from France to play with Team USA? They ain't going to like him there. He's going to be booed a lot.
That's another storyline. You think about it, he's been booed every game and they weren't even playing against France yet. So
yes.
I have no telling the type of reaction he's going to hear when he's actually going against France. I think thinking about the storyline from last game, he does get up for these Nikola Jokic matchups. And people kind of say he ducks that, but he has some of his best games against Nikola Jokic. And when you think about it, few months ago, he had his career high 70 points against Victor Wembanyama. So who knows? Maybe he has something else in store. Maybe there's something a little left over from that Spurs-Sixers matchup. And maybe Victor Wembanyama remembers that as well. He struggled a little bit throughout the tournament, at least as a scorer. So maybe he has his breakout performance at the Olympics. It should definitely be an interesting matchup between those two guys as well.
We're both thinking under, though, right? We're both thinking slower paced. You're not going to get tanked.
It does feel like that. It really does feel like that, especially just because, one, it's going to be slowed down. You're not going to get in the paint that much. And these teams have so many miles on their bodies now at this point of the tournament. You think about game sevens in the NBA, things slow down a lot. It's going to be similar like that. It's one game to win it all, and teams have played a lot. So I do expect a slow pace. And again, France, in order to have a chance with teams that are just straight up more talented than you, you have to make the game a little bit ugly. You have to make it a bit of a rock fight and ultimately try to win games in certain spots. So if France was to do that, they're a very well-coached group and they figure some things out strategically, they will probably try to ugly the game up a little bit.
The women's side, win by 30, 35. What do you...
I think the French women's team will have the crowd behind them, but today's women's performance was so surgical in that blowout of Australia. They're rolling now. I do expect them to win by at least 20, but probably 25, 30, it seems like. And maybe I don't want to regret saying that, but that's what it certainly seems like.
It feels like they're going to leave it all out on the court. Whatever it is, they're going to win. They 60 now. It'll be 61, eighth straight gold. Unbelievable. Gilbert McGregor, always a pleasure, my man. Enjoy the games here this week. We'll talk to you again soon. Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions on this Friday. I'm Joe Ranieri, joined by our good friend Tom Vecchio as we're getting ready. What was a 16-game slate, one game in the books already, one game rained out. We've got plenty of action getting ready to get underway here, a couple of games. But let me start, Tom, quick with the Guardians lost again. What is that, six in a row? There's no shame in losing to Bailey Ober. The guy's been phenomenal here. Are you worried about the Guardians at all?
Well, thanks for having me. I think you have to be at this point. And yeah. I got to say, like, if you're just a casual baseball fan, you got to be rooting for the Royals. You got to be rooting for them. You know, seeing the Guardians slip in the standings, I think the Guardians actually would be the team to have the most interest in because they just announced that, Joe Ryan for the Twins, right? He's going to be out months, they said, not weeks with whatever grade two strain he has in his tricep, I think.
Yep.
So Guardians are slipping. Twins just lost their ace, not to say they don't have other good pitchers, but with the excitement that the Royals bring, we should be rooting for them and the Pirates to make the wild card or make the playoffs. That's where the excitement is in baseball.
I'm 100% with you. I think maybe the Guardians might have played their best baseball. They peaked too soon, and it could be downhill from here. One of the games coming up, it's got a lot of juice this weekend series here between Boston and Houston. How barely walked anybody to start the season. Last month he walked everybody. So is he just wearing down a little bit, Tom? Should we be worried? How do you approach this game tonight against the Astros?
Well, the Astros are really disciplined at the plate, and they've always been that way. I'm not saying it's because they have external factors helping them, but they've always been really disciplined at the plate. They have a 19.2% strikeout rate versus righties, which is the fourth lowest in the league. They simply don't waste chances. Tanner Houck has a 0.2% strikeout rate. He's just not someone that's going to be dominating on the mound. He also has a 9.9% swing strike rate, which is super low. So I like Houck under 4.5 strikeouts, sitting at plus 116. Also, about 10 to 15 mile per win blowing out to left field. So A, he's not a big-time strikeout pitcher. B, it's a tough match for him to rack up the strikeouts. And then if the wind gets going, he could be pulled early just because he gives up a ton of runs. And yeah, he had 7 strikeouts in his last start. Any pitcher can do that. But he had 2-2-6-1 in the 4 starts prior. He had 5 total strikeouts combined in 3 of his last 4 starts. So, like, this isn't a pitcher that's routinely going over. It's all about the under tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We got one that's just getting underway here with – The Halos, shouldn't they be tanking? What's going on with the Angels taking on the Nats here? This one just got underway. Can they keep rolling here at plus money?
I mean, was it Zach Neto has like 15 RBIs in his
it's
last?
It's crazy,
right? Listen, bad teams are going to win games. It's going to happen. I guess even the White Sox won a game. Like, I have interest in theory in the White Sox, not just because the game is going to have a ton of wind blowing out, and that's a great park. But, like, when it comes to the Angels, I can't trust them on a night-in, night-out basis outside of taking a long shot on an RBI prop just because we get plus money with it. So I'd be willing to, like, decrease the unit size and roll with something like that. And that's probably the best way to approach weaker teams, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm O'Hoppin and Nate are just absolutely crushing it for them. And they got their best pitcher on the mound here. Terrible spot for the Phillies tonight, or is it in your mind?
I really like this spot. Like, Ryan Nelson's not a pitcher that I'm like super worried about. I also think Trey Turner is awesome. So I like him for 2+ hits. It's sitting at plus 160. It's rather specific. He is sitting at minus 120 for 2+ total bases. Obviously, there's a world where he has a double. He goes 1 for 4. He would cash the 2+ total bases, but he doesn't cash the 2+ hits. So I'm willing to roll for the plus 160. He's awesome. 125 WRC plus versus righties. 356 BABIP, but that's ultimately what we want. The balls in play, getting the hits. And he's a 349 wOBA versus righties. Ryan Nelson, bad versus righties. 39% hard contact rate allowed. 386 BABIP, which is good for Trey Turner, who just puts the ball in play. He's also not an overly dominant strikeout pitcher. So give me the Phillies tonight. I would say a bit more runs than we saw last night. I know it was 10 last night, but I would say some good scoring from the Phillies.
They had to use, I think, what, 4 of their high leverage guys out of the pen last night because of Aller. Do I go over outs on Wheeler here, 18.5?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the route to go, like you said. And that's one of, like, the key things in baseball, especially at this point in the season, that if you're casual better, like, pitcher out props is probably not something that you're keying in on. But, like, if you understand bullpen usage and they're on the end of a long road trip and, like, they had to use these starters X amount of times because they got blown out in Seattle, like, they're wearing down. They need their ace to be out there for at least 7 innings tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. That's the route I'm looking at for sure here. And the Dodgers, of course, taking on Pittsburgh in this one here. It feels like there's a couple of different ways to go in this game. How are you approaching it?
Keeping things super simple to start off the weekend, and that's just Shohei Ohtani, 2+ total bases at minus 125. Going up against Mitch Keller, we're not worried about Mitch Keller overall. And what I love about this is Ohtani, or players in the Ohtani tier, is that he can get this done in one swing, right? Mitch Keller giving up 1.20 home runs per nine to lefties. He's only giving up 289 BABIP, but he has a 39% fly ball rate allowed to lefties and a 425 slugging. So he doesn't give up a ton of hits, but the hits he gives up, a lot of them are going for power, which are doubles or home runs. So we just take Ohtani, keep it super simple. We know what they're doing with their lineup. He's going to be in there. Freddie Freeman's back, which is great to see. It, you know, kind of protects him a bit more in the lineup. Mookie Betts will be back soon. So the Dodgers are going to keep rolling.
It's crazy here with, you said it, root for Pittsburgh and root for Kansas City, who's got that, you know, cross-state, cross-town rival going on here against St. Louis. Are you a fan of Lorenzen?
This is actually the one-year anniversary of the no-hitter that he pitched last year at Philly tonight. Yes, so I don't know if there's something there. I just saw one tweet about that. But, like, I think that game and the series should be fun. But I want to root for the Royals because of Bobby Witt, and I want to root for the Pirates because of Paul Skeens. I want to see them in playoff games. Like, that's where I think they deserve to be. So give me some Royals. Give me some Pittsburgh. Maybe not Pittsburgh this weekend, but I'll take them going forward.
Yeah, I agree. And give me some runs there at Kauffman Stadium on a hot, humid night in the summer. I got no problem with that at all, sitting at 9 right now, 9.5. So, Tom Vecchio, always a pleasure, brother. Thank you very much. Plenty more baseball still to come, even though football's here. So we certainly look forward to hanging with you and getting more plays from you throughout the week. Enjoy the night. And more importantly, go Pittsburgh, except for Ohtani. Make sure he goes 3 hits here tonight. We got no problem with that. And go Royals. Let's go big on the Royals here tonight. Game time decisions. We'll be back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Friday now, August the 9th, as we get ready to wrap up this first hour together. We got much more still to come, of course, a loaded MLB slate. We've got three, count them, one, two, three NFL preseason week one games coming up, including Atlanta, the Falcons, and their new number one quarterback pick there. No, it ain't Kirk Cousins. Michael Penix Jr. here tonight will be taking on the Dolphins in Miami. Looking forward to that one. Of course, we talked about Baltimore and Philadelphia. Baltimore getting money. Yes, that's right. Plus money, the Ravens, with a unbelievably gaudy and disgusting preseason ATS record with Coach Harbaugh. Still, the market has flipped this. They opened up, by the way, as a three-point favorite. They're now a one-and-a-half-point dog against Philadelphia. This is going to be, a lot of people going to be very interested to see how this goes. And of course, the Steelers also will be on tap against the Texans. So a lot of NFL preseason football tonight and this weekend. And of course, coming up just after the top of the hour here, we'll have a few more games getting ready to go underway with their first pitch, including the Blue Jays at home taking on the Athletics. How about Vladdy? Vladdy with a 20-game hitting streak right now, was a single short of the cycle last night here. They are looking to keep rolling with Berrios against Mitch Spence. That game is coming up here shortly. We had told you, of course, about the Astros and the Red Sox. That is a game with Blanco and Houck we're going to be keeping an eye on. And one of my favorite plays of the day here will be the Padres taking on the Marlins in Miami. Perez going for the Padres. Cabrera going for Miami. I just don't see a way in which we're not backing the Padres on the run line in this one. This lineup, folks, has been absolutely destroying the ball. And Cabrera, not exactly too many walks, too many wild pitches, too many runners possibly able to come across the plate. So I like the Padres on the run line in this one. But that game is also getting ready. First pitch just after the top of the hour. In the meantime, the Angels and the Nats. The Angels, after whooping up on the Yankees, are now in the nation's capital. This is an interesting one. We just talked to Tom Vecchio about the Angels have their ace, if whatever that is, Soriano, on the mound here tonight, but the Neto and O'Hop have been absolutely crushing the ball for the Angels. These young players here, they're not void of talent. And it's not like the Nationals are some sort of juggernaut here in the National League East. So this is a might be worth a look-see with the Angels here at any sort of plus money during this game. And the Orioles, coming off a just disgusting display last night against the Blue Jays. Blue Jays ended up holding on as the Orioles. That game ended 7-6, but it was never really close, except for the ninth inning when the bullpen of the Blue Jays fell apart. But it's still a loss for the Orioles. They're still neck and neck with the Yankees. They are up, though, 1-0 against the Rays in this one in Tampa Bay. And Zach Little is on the mound for the Rays in this one. Just one run. They already scored, almost hit another home run. They made a nice play in center field, the center fielder for Tampa to haul that in. So two outs, and Tampa's going to get ready to get up at the plate. In addition to those games, we've got plenty of interesting matchups. How about a big National League Central matchup coming up tonight between the Reds and the Brewers? The Brewers are running over everybody. Well, they're basically running over the Braves. But now the Reds are coming to town here, and Aaron Civale on the mound for the Brewers versus Spires for the Reds. We'll see if the Reds can keep it going in that one. And game two of the Guardians and the Twins. Again, Twins won game one, six straight losses for the Guardians here now. It might be seven here as Varland, who's got electric stuff if he knows where it's going, for the Minnesota Twins, and former Giant Alex Cobb That is how bad it's gotten for the Guardians, is they're rolling out guys like Cobb right now to try and pitch for them. A lot of injuries starting to catch up with this Guardians team. So that is another one we're going to keep a close eye on here tonight. Plenty more games to talk about. Joe Maddon coming up this hour. Mr. George Kurtz, come back and join us. Another hour, Game Time Decisions on the Grid.